here has had those moments where you realize the irony of a situation you're in? Well, that was me a few days ago writing this podcast episode as I realized that I was overthinking. Instead of sitting down and using my outline of ideas and sticky notes to help guide me, I was pacing the floor or staring at a blank screen as I beat my head trying to write today's episode, which, as you can guess, is all about overthinking. Now, why did I choose this particular topic? Well, it's rather simple. Overthinking is one of the main blockers that can keep us from achieving our goals, whether that's reaching our business or professional goals, university goals, personal, or any other type of goals you may have. Because regardless what stage you're at in your career, in building your business, or in your studies, we all face obstacles that can make us feel stuck or overwhelmed. These blockers can take many forms, such as fears, excuses, and the one we're diving into today, overthinking.
Welcome to the Christian CEO Podcast. I'm Katie Bother, and I have built an impactful location independent business since 2008 with plenty of rejections, English as my third language, and lots of God's grace. Each week, we will be sharing relevant and direct advice or inspiring interviews with one intention. It's your time to go pro with your marketplace calling. Now, let's get to it.
Overthinking can paralyze us, turning straightforward decisions into complex mazes. I've had many a time where I was given two options, especially as a child, who was given the option of doing my chores now or having fun. And while it seems like a straightforward choice, at the time, it can feel like the world was ending. When you're directly in that situation, sometimes we can end up overwhelming ourselves by making the problem or the potential solutions a lot bigger than it actually is. Am I right? As a psychology student, I've been diving into the brain and our thought patterns and came across something that you might find interesting. Because we all know that we have a tendency to overthink. But what does that process look like in our brain? And why do we do that in the first place? So, according to a neuroscientific study done by Dr. Rauschecker and Scott, there are various brain regions involved in overthinking. The auditory cortex, for example, is crucial for processing speech and auditory stimuli. Now, in the context of overthinking, the auditory pathways, basically how we hear, play a crucial role in internal dialogue or self-talk that basically perpetuates this rumination or excessive cognitive processing. So you may have thought about when you talk to yourself, either whether that's, you know, internally just in your head, or maybe you talk to yourself out loud. I mean, sometimes I do that too. Now, research suggests that this auditory cortex is a region of the brain which is responsible for processing this type of auditory information. And it's involved in then generating and then processing your internal speech or self-talk. Now, as you know, our internal dialogue can involve repetitive and negative thoughts, which are characteristic of rumination, which is a key component of overthinking. Just as a quick side note, rumination is obsessively thinking about an idea, a situation, or a choice, especially when it interferes with normal mental functioning. So, you know, like sometimes when you're given an option and you're like, yeah, I'm going to sleep on it, but then that's all you can think about for the next 24 hours. Yeah, that means you're ruminating on that choice or that idea. Now, decision reinvestment, or the ability to actively then process your decision making, is generally characterized by overthinking. And this can therefore negatively impact your cognitive performance, because you're increasing the amount of brain power to try to answer this question. This means that overthinking may actually be responsible for the heightened activity in the brain regions responsible for decision-making and attention. And, therefore, professionals such as yourself may overthink situations by activating specific brain regions, such as the left temporal cortex, which can then interfere with those skills that you've mastered, and then lead to a decrease in your performance. Now, they actually took pictures of brains to take a look to see how this would look like, And they found that they could reveal personality traits, such as being an extrovert, which are linked to emotional processing and healthy outcomes. Now, variations in your brain structure and your function can influence how often you overthink or ruminate. Of course, everyone has different experiences, and it's these experiences during critical periods in your life, especially growing up or later on in young adulthood, can then sculpt your brain development and impact your emotion regulation processes, which could potentially influence you to overthink. Now, that doesn't mean if you're slightly older, say anywhere over 35, 40 plus, that doesn't mean you can't rewire your brain to prevent overthinking. It just means you may need to work a little bit harder, or you need to increase the amount of strategies you have to do to prevent overthinking. So actually, the brain's process behind overthinking involves this complex interplay of neurocircuits, cognitive functions, and emotional regulation mechanisms. So everything from internal self-talk, your decision-making processes, and actually your metabolism, along with your personality, can contribute to the potential for overthinking. So I'm sure that may have been making your head spin with all of the medical jargon. So what does that mean for us? Ultimately, I found that there are four common overthinking patterns that we tend to fall into regardless of the situation. So not only are we going to look into each one of these, we're also going to find out how to counter them with practical strategies and a bit of biblical wisdom. So first off, this is a classic. What will people think? Now, this can be particularly crippling when you're trying to innovate or step outside of traditional boundaries. For example, imagine you have a groundbreaking idea. Okay, it doesn't have to be groundbreaking, but let's say you maybe decide to pivot your business. But you can't help worrying about how others will perceive it. And this fear can stop you from pursuing what you truly believe in. Maybe you're thinking about launching a new product that's different from what you have offered before, and you're worried it could be too radical or not well received. So, to get past this, it's crucial to strengthen your conviction in your vision and your mission. Remind yourself why you started your business in the first place and reaffirm your goals. Think about Galatians 1:10, which poses a powerful question. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Powerful stuff, right? I mean, this is all about encouraging us to focus on our calling from God, rather than seeking the fleeting approval from others. Of course, easier said than done. So here's three steps that you can take to help overcome this fear. Number one, revisit your mission statement. I recommend that you write down your mission and vision statements either for your business, for this area, life area, for example, and keep them where you can see them daily. I find putting them at the screensaver of my computer is a great way to remind myself of what I aim to do. This will serve as a constant reminder of your purpose and help you stay grounded in your goals. Number two, seek feedback from trusted sources. Rather than worrying about everyone's opinion, identify a few trusted mentors or colleagues whose feedback you value. Their constructive criticism could help you refine your ideas without getting bogged down by negative or irrelevant opinions. And number three, affirmations and prayer. Start your day with affirmations and prayer, asking for strength and guidance to pursue your goals with confidence. This can help you center your thoughts and reduce anxiety about others' perceptions. Next, let's talk about the overthinking trap known as analysis paralysis. We've all been there, right? This kind of indecision can stall your progress and growth. For instance, you might be weighing the pros and cons of various social media strategies, trying to figure out which one will yield the best results. In the process, you end up not implementing any of them. It sounds cliche, but it's true. Sometimes it's just about starting and sticking to one thing instead of switching all the time. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6 guides us with, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight." This scripture teaches us to rely on divine guidance and not overcomplicate our decisions. I found that setting a clear deadline helps with the decision-making process. Such tools could be decision matrices, pros and cons lists to help you analyze your options, but you should commit to making a decision by your set deadline. I'm very much a fan of the latter, as evidenced by my journal and the vast amounts of pros and cons lists I've made since I was a teenager. From making lists of where to apply to university, to names for pets, for deciding what book to read next, I've probably spent way too much time thinking instead of doing. So here's some practical steps. 1. Set a decision deadline. Give yourself a reasonable time frame to gather the info you need to make the decision, but mark it on your calendar and then stick to it. 2. Simplify your choices. Narrow down your options to 2, max 3 viable choices, because too many options can overwhelm you and make the decision ultimately that much harder. 3. My personal favorite, make a pros and cons list for each option, because this can really help clarify the benefits and drawbacks, making it easier to choose. However, with 4, seek divine guidance, you may find that regardless, maybe option A has a lot more pros than option B, God will guide you towards the right decision, and we just need to trust in that. So don't forget to take a moment to do that. Another common overthinking pattern is the perfect timing myth, where you wait for the perfect moment to take action. This might mean delaying the launch of a service because you think the market isn't ready or you're not completely prepared. For example, you might have a training program ready to go, but you keep postponing the launch because you're waiting for the perfect economic conditions or the perfect marketing materials. Now, who has actually ever found the perfect time? I find that this concept is more of a myth than anything else. Who agrees with me? Ecclesiastes 11:4 warns us, "Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap," which ultimately tells us that waiting for perfect conditions is futile because it's not going to happen. So rather, we need to challenge the notion of perfect timing by embracing the concept of good enough. Start taking action, even if it means launching in phases. You can always go back later to rewrite it or update it. And you need to understand that no situation is ever perfect, and adaptability is ultimately the key to success. So here's a couple ways we could do that. 1, set milestones. Break down your project into smaller, more manageable milestones. Launch in phases if needed, and adjust as you go along. 2, embrace imperfection. Accept that your initial launch may not be perfect, and that's totally okay. Use feedback from the initial launch to then make improvements and listen to your customers. They're the ones who you're serving. 3, focus on progress. Celebrate those small wins and the progress you're making rather than waiting for the perfect moment where you get everything done. Progress is better than perfection. And 4, take calculated risks or risks of faith. Sometimes you just have to take that leap of faith. Assess the risks, prepare as much as you can, and then take action. And finally, the last, most common overthinking pattern that I found is catastrophizing, where you imagine the worst case scenario for every situation. This could involve worrying excessively about a new regulation impacting your business or fearing complete failure from a small setback. For instance, you might avoid expanding your business because you fear that one bad financial quarter could ruin everything. Or you might be hesitant to delegate tasks because you worry that others won't meet your standards and it'll lead to major errors. So you rather do it all yourself, leading to tons of additional stress on your shoulders and potential burnout. Philippians 4, verses 6 through 7 offer some solace. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. As we're all about sustainably building your business, let's avoid the path of burnout and rather practice some grounding techniques such as mindfulness and focus on what you can control. So here are some steps you can take to mitigate those risks and prepare contingency plans. 1, grounding techniques. Practice mindfulness or meditation to keep your thoughts in the present moment. This can help reduce anxiety about future uncertainties. 2, focus on controllables. Identify what you can control in the situation and take proactive steps to address those areas. You may find that this includes creating contingency plans or backup strategies. Number 3, preparing those contingency plans. You can outline potential risks and create plans to mitigate them, because just knowing you have a backup plan can already reduce the anxiety in your mind. And 4, possibly my favorite, positive visualization. Instead of imagining the worst case scenario, practice positive visualization. Picture successful outcomes and focus on those. How many of these scenarios have occurred to you in the past days, weeks, or months? Myself included, I've hit all 4 in the last couple of weeks as I've prepared for exams. So before I wrapped up today's episode, I wanted to share with you my top 7 tips that can help your daily routine as you work towards your goals. Tip 1, implement the 5-minute rule. When you're facing resistance to starting a task due to fear overthinking, it can feel overwhelming, and it's very easy to end up doom-scrolling through your phone instead. I've definitely been there, done that. So I find the 5-minute rule is a powerful tool to combat this inertia. Here's how it works. Commit to working on the task at hand for just 5 minutes. Often, I find that the hardest part is just starting. Because by telling yourself you only have to work on it for a short period of time, you lower the mental barrier to beginning. Once you start, you'll likely find that the task isn't as daunting as it seemed, and you may continue working beyond the initial 5 minutes. This small commitment can create momentum, helping you overcome procrastination and build a productive routine. Tip number 2, adopt a non-zero day policy. Now, this philosophy encourages consistent progress towards your goal, no matter how small. The idea is to ensure that every day you do at least one thing that moves you closer to your objectives. This could be as simple as writing a single email, reading a chapter of a book, or brainstorming new ideas for a project. The key is that no day goes by without making some progress. This approach helps to combat the all-or-nothing mindset, which is actually quite harmful, and generally, we can't stick to such radical changes all at once. Believe me, I've tried that. I went from one day to the next, to switching my sleep schedule, feeling super productive by the end of the day, but being totally exhausted by day 3. So this type of plan was definitely not sustainable and not effective, because I ended up needing more days afterwards to recover from it. Rather, by celebrating those small wins and maintaining this daily momentum, you can build a habit of consistent productivity that adds up over time. Tip 3, create accountability charts. Now, this type of a chart is a visual representation of your goals, paired with accountability partners who check in on your progress. Start by mapping out your short and long-term goals. Next, assign a mentor, a peer, or a coach to each goal. These accountability partners will regularly check in on your progress, offering support, encouragement, and external insights. Because knowing that someone else is tracking your progress can provide the motivation to stay committed. Additionally, your accountability partners can offer valuable perspectives and advice, helping you overcome challenges and stay on track. Tip number 4, engage in role reversal. Now, this is a technique where you step into the shoes of a mentor or advisor and ask yourself what advice you would give to a friend facing similar challenges. I think we've all heard the phrase of not taking your own advice. Yet, generally, that's exactly what we should be doing. We should be taking our own advice and apply it to our lives, not just telling our friends what to do. Because this tactic allows you to create the psychological distance from your own frustrations and allows you to think more clearly and objectively. My mother had a similar analogy for my brother and I, telling us to make the decision by looking as a third person in a movie and watching the characters make their decisions. Often the advice you would give to someone else is exactly what you need to hear. By applying this external perspective to your situation, you can uncover practical solutions and gain clarity on your next steps. This method can help you bypass the emotional barriers that can cloud your judgment and lead to overthinking. Tip number 5, setting theme days. Theme days are a way to organize your week by dedicating specific days to specific types of tasks. For example, you might have Marketing Mondays, Finance Fridays, or Creative Tuesdays. This approach helps to minimize the mental fatigue associated with constantly switching between different kinds of work. By focusing on one type of task for an entire day, you can dive deeper into your work and produce higher quality results. Beam days can also help you maintain a structured schedule, making it easier to plan your week and stay on top of your responsibilities without feeling overwhelmed. I tend to have podcast days where I batch up scripts or I spend time brainstorming. At the moment, my life tends to be divided between working days and uni days. Tip number 6, limiting decision fatigue. Now, as we've mentioned a bit before, we do want to cut down on the amount of decisions you have to make. And decision fatigue will occur when you make too many trivial decisions throughout the day, which depletes your mental energy and reduces your ability to make those important decisions effectively. So, to combat this, you can streamline your routine by planning meals, outfits, and schedules in advance. For instance, you could meal prep on Sundays, choose your outfits for the week on the weekend, and set a daily schedule the night before. We always make jokes about Steve Jobs wearing a black turtleneck over day, or Zuckerberg always wearing a plain gray t-shirt. But by reducing the number of small decisions they needed to make each day, they were able to conserve mental energy for the decisions that truly mattered as they were growing their respective businesses. This can lead to more focused and effective decision-making where it counts. And our final tip, embrace flexibility. While structure and routine are essential, and don't get me wrong, I love a good plan myself, it is important to embrace flexibility. Your path to success doesn't have to be rigid. Be open to adjusting your plans as you gather more information and experience. Flexibility allows you to adapt to new challenges and opportunities as they arise. It helps you overcome psychological barriers by reducing the pressure to stick to a fixed plan, which can be stifling. Instead, view your plans as a roadmap that can evolve, keeping you resilient and responsive in the dynamic landscape of entrepreneurship. And as we wrap up this segment, I want you to remember, every entrepreneur faces blockers at some point. The key isn't to avoid them, but to equip yourself with strategies to push through them. Your goals are on the other side of these challenges, and with the right tools, you're more than capable of reaching them. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope that today's episode inspired you or helped you gain new insights in how you approach reaching your goals and overcoming overthinking. If you found a particular strategy helpful, I'd love to hear from you. Share your thoughts, stories, or even your own strategies that have helped you move past these blockers. Connect with us on our social media platforms or send us an email. Your feedback and stories are what keep this community strong and growing. And join us next time as we continue to explore transformative ideas and practical solutions to not just run our businesses, but to thrive in them, inspired and guided by timeless wisdom. Until then, keep taking those bold steps. Keep trusting in the path God's laid out for you. And remember, in God's timing, not ours, everything will fall into place.
Hi there. If you have found this episode resonating with you, would you please consider to take a moment?
Just drop a review on Apple Podcast.
It will serve a fresh dose of blessings to those of us who work so hard to produce the content week in and week out. Please go to kellyballer.com/review. Again, that's kellyballer.com/review. We really appreciate it. And you will also help more fellow Christian CEOs find this podcast. Thank you so much. Remember, you matter. See you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Christian CEO podcast at www.kellyballer.com.